Okay, welcome. Everybody made it over from the keynote. How was the keynote? Was that good? Good. I guess that got everybody here late or early. Tends to be a lot of fun in Madrid, so I was worried people wouldn't get here. So my name's Kent Brown. I'm on the Windows Azure marketing team, but I cover the integration technology, so all the things we're going to be talking about today. And Guru Venkataraman will be joining me. He's from the engineering team, BizTalk server services, and he's one of the PMs, and we'll sort of tag team here. So the intent, the title here is Microsoft Integration Vision and Roadmap. The intent is to really kind of in one session cover all the different integration pieces that we have in a way, in a consistent way, to look at how each one fits, how you use each one, and how they will develop together. Because it's a common question. People look and say, oh, you've got Service Bus and BizTalk. Which one? What are they doing? And so we wanted to put them together, show you how they fit together, and again, talk about how we see them evolving. So just in terms of scope, for integration, that can mean a lot of things. What I mean here is what we typically call middle tier integration, all these buzzwords, ESB, SOA, what are some of the BPM, all that space. I'm not talking about data integration. I'm not talking about master data management, those sorts of things. I'm talking about that middle tier. Speaking of those buzzwords, so what does integration mean? It basically just means hooking stuff together. Right? It means how I've got different applications. I don't want to enter things twice. I don't want to point to point. We've all seen that. And so how many people here are BizTalk users or have been in the past? Okay, good. So you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to go and define integration to you. How many people have been to some of the sessions, either the server or the services session so far this week? Okay, so about half. So some of this will be new. If you haven't been to one of those sessions, this is going to be an overview. We've had drill downs on each of these topics that you can go in and watch the videos. So in terms of the choices from integration from Microsoft, kind of at the low end or at the very granular scale, we have these frameworks for doing web services. So if you're going to build integration, ideally you want to proactively build things in a way that they talk to each other. So we've got WCF, which has been for 10 years our SOAP integration technology. So we were very active in developing SOAP and those WS star standards. And we've got WS transactions, WS security. We have good support for that. The other thing that's really caught on in the last several years, in some ways I think is at least on par, maybe I'll take a poll. It's always interesting to know Europe versus the US, is the web API. So REST-based, simple HTTP-based, you just post a document, we call that REST. That's really caught on. It's somewhat simpler. It doesn't have all the support for tooling and some of the protocols, but the simplicity kind of wins out. The interoperability of saying any platform, any device can post over HTTP, that just makes it work, and so that's kind of won out. If you're primarily doing the SOAP-based stuff, raise your hand. Okay, and if you're primarily doing REST-based at this point? Okay, and how many people kind of actually do quite a bit of both? It's kind of, okay, so that validates my thought that by no means is SOAP extinct. A lot of people, we tend to say there's a new cool thing that catches on. Well, that's the only way to do it, and that old style, bell bottoms aren't cool anymore, whatever you did, 5 years ago. But it looks pretty clear. You guys are enterprise developers. SOAP has its place. Web API has its place. And Microsoft really just wants to support both and not push you in one direction or another. Workflow. So we've got a framework called Windows Workflow Foundation, which is usually WF or workflow. That is basically, it's a framework for building workflows into your application. You're going to use that. It doesn't have, at the framework level, all the pieces that BizTalk Server, for example, would have. A lot of times when people saw that 5 years ago when it came out, they said, oh, this is going to be the new BizTalk. No, this is a framework for building within your own applications, especially ISV partners, and we'll do in the demo, we'll do a sample. SharePoint's a great example. They've taken this framework and they've built a great, rich workflow experience into SharePoint, and they host it. A lot of ISV partners. So SharePoint allows you to customize the design experience. So that's what workflow is for. It's very, very powerful, very important technology. Service Bus. This is an important one. This has been out for a couple of years in Windows Azure. It's a, think of it as a new MSMQ. Now, MSMQ is still supported, but our energy will be going on the messaging layer into Service Bus going forward. So the same team owns both of those. And Service Bus started off as a cloud service. It still is a cloud service. It also now can run on premises. Service Bus has a couple of main points. One is the relay, so it allows you to take a WCF endpoint, expose it out through the cloud in a secure way so people can call outside of your organization through the firewall securely. It also has queuing and a pub sub engine, queuing and topics. So the ability to just write to a queue and then on top of that to say, well, one message comes in, multiple subscribers, and each can have filters and get different versions of those, not different versions, but different subsets of those messages that go into the queue. So that's a powerful engine. When people first saw this, they wanted to put the E in front of it. Customers, you know, and so they thought Microsoft is building a new ESB service bus and that would replace BizTalk. That's not the intent, and that's actually not the direction. Service Bus might have been better named Message Bus. It's a very important messaging infrastructure that we use in the cloud and on-premises. Queuing, obviously, is important. It supports AMQP, which is a new protocol. I think Guru will talk a little bit about that. So that's powerful. But again, it's not going to do that brokering, ESB, BPM, all those pieces. That's really the land of still of BizTalk Server. So BizTalk Server, we just released, it's been 2 or 3 months now, BizTalk Server 2013. That's a major release. It extends support. It really signals that, you know, we're not done with BizTalk Server. BizTalk Server is still a very important product for us on premises. There'll be many releases to come. And it, the same team owns BizTalk Server, and what I'll talk about here is BizTalk Services, which is our new platform as a service offering in the cloud. So what we've done is continue to support our on-premise server, and in the cloud developed a somewhat new, although it uses a lot of the same artifacts, and going forward we see the two working together and to being more and more consistent and working together. The BizTalk Services is designed as a platform as a service, so it, you know, cloud scale, simpler configuration, all those capabilities. And the core of it is EDI processing is one of the main things that it provides. So you can just outsource, either you move all your EDI processing to the cloud or even outsource to a partner to handle that for you. And then it has general EAI capabilities like BizTalk Server. It doesn't yet have workflow and business rules and BAM, so it's not everything that BizTalk Server has, but we're definitely investing in that will be growing quickly. Okay, so that's the list of options. And again, it's part of why I wanted to give a little bit of guidance. It's easy to look at one of these and see us, oh, there's a new release of workflow. What does that mean for BizTalk? Oh, you know, so the way we see these are all important to us. They're working together. And so what we're going to try to do, I'm going to do a demo here in a few seconds that really shows how all of these work together to build what our goals are. And so that's what I want to talk about first is just our vision. The cloud, how much, I don't know the tone here, you don't have to raise your hand, but I know when I talk to enterprise customers, a lot of them say, yeah, that cloud thing is nice, but all I'm doing right now is on premises. And we acknowledge that. That's part of what we're trying to do is say, the cloud, we really do believe, we're investing heavily, we believe the cloud is the future. But just like, you know, a lot of things are the future, but a lot of you know, mainframes are still here, right? There are a lot of things that aren't, you don't just throw away because you've invested, they do what they do. And so your on-premise investments are going to stay there for a long time as you start to figure out how the cloud makes sense in your enterprise. So what we want to do is how can we make the cloud available to you on your terms? So there are kind of three scenarios. One is you've got an existing on-premises integration environment, you've got BizTalk Server. How can we make it easier for you to open that up to cloud applications, to partners. And so being able to connect to the cloud with your existing BizTalk Server, that's a big focus. The second is being able to run in the cloud. So again, you've written integrations running on BizTalk Server, and you want to just move those. Without rewriting them from scratch, you want to be able to move them to the cloud. As well, so either to run applications or dev and test. So, you know, how many people have, you know, just setting up a BizTalk Server or ordering and getting that provision can take a while. Being able to quickly spin that up, even for test environments, to be able to automate the spinning up of those environments, run your tests, and then spin it down, because tests a lot of times will come at a certain point in the project, and you don't need to buy and hold on to all that infrastructure. Finally, we're building for the cloud. So if you really just want to build from the scratch a new application built for the cloud, taking full advantage of the cloud, that's another option. And so let me just connect these with the products that we just released. So BizTalk Server 2013 has been enabled. That's some of the key enhancements. It's more than that, but that's one of the important things we did, is make it easier to connect to the cloud. We also fully support BizTalk Server 2013 in running in IaaS on virtual machines and Windows Azure. And then we've got this new BizTalk Services. Again, we'll give a little more details in the demo on what BizTalk Services is. If you haven't, we had a whole session on it yesterday morning, and you can look that one up. So the sort of North Star, like where are we headed, what do we envision being able to enable our customers to do? And the goal really is to be able to not see the cloud as, oh, you've got to move to the cloud, because that's not going to win. You don't have time to rewrite all your applications. You have things that are, for security and compliance reasons, you can't move to the cloud yet. So our goal is to say, yes, let's leverage our existing assets, our existing investments, but let's also bring the cloud to the enterprises, make it available to them to do sort of modern applications, if you will. So I don't know if anybody made it to, there was actually one of the foundation sessions, modern business applications. What is a modern business application? It's really an application where, again, you're able to access data from anywhere, including your on-premise assets that are important to you, as well as to these new form factors, mobile, web applications running in the cloud, so you can take advantage of the scale and the simplicity of setting that up. But also SaaS applications. A lot of people are adopting, you know, Workday or Salesforce, and being able to integrate that back into your on-premise systems, as well as just traditional B2B with partners. And so we see integration sitting in the middle as a key enabler of those hybrid scenarios, enabling these modern business applications. And so, the demo, and I think you'll see putting all the pieces Microsoft has together, that's our vision, and I believe that really we are the strongest company to give you both a solid cloud and a solid on-premises asset and a solid set of integration capabilities to tie those together. These are some examples of scenarios. There was a poster. I don't know if it made it. They were shipped here. I don't know if we saw them, but we have a poster that you can download on a PDF, but it shows some of the scenarios that we enable with that integration stack. So hybrid applications, and that's really, actually the demo that I have is going to combine kind of all of these. But a hybrid application, again, is where you're running pieces in the cloud that are connecting to on-premises. B2B, obviously we know what that is, but with Service Bus and some of those other capabilities, being able to take the cloud and think of that as my sort of my DMZ, rather than, you know, if I've got a lot of partners that need to share data, rather than opening up my firewall and letting them and giving them credentials on my network, we can create a shared environment in Azure. It's sort of a neutral meeting ground, if you will. So that there's a lot of interest in that scenario. And then finally, I mentioned the SaaS integration, being able to seamlessly take SaaS applications that meet my needs but bring them together with on-premises data. So I want to jump into a demo here, and there's quite a few moving pieces, so I'll describe the demo and then sort of walk through it. So the scenario is this: our company is called Tray Research. We're an electronics company, mostly initially a lot of divisions, and so there's a new division that wants to do some consumer devices and wants to be able to sell those directly over the web to a mobile app and through partners. So they want to leverage, they're sort of a startup within this company. They've got these line of business systems and databases. They've got existing enterprise systems. But for their public website, they want to leverage Windows Azure to take advantage of the scale, the simplicity, the cost. But the question is, how are they going to connect that to the on-premise systems? And so these are, we've already mentioned those integration capabilities that we have. BizTalk Server, already being used on-premises, can then connect through the Service Bus and make those services available to cloud applications. And so in the demo, the web application is going to connect through Service Bus, and BizTalk is going to read those off the queue, and it's going to process and be able to send back. We also have SharePoint Online. So for this scenario, certain orders, if they're bigger than a certain amount, need manual approval. And so BizTalk will actually write... send a message to SharePoint, which will have a workflow kick off that a user has to approve, and then SharePoint will connect back to BizDoc, say it's been approved, go ahead and continue processing. And so SaaS, in a way, in this represents, SharePoint represents that SaaS. That's one example that happens to be in our data center, but SaaS applications outside could work as well. And then finally, they want a mobile application, so that, let's say, faithful customers that order a lot will just have an app that they can order over their phone. Again, they all go through this service bus to BizTalk channel that's the pipe between the cloud and the on-prem. And then finally, the partners. With the EDI capabilities and BizTalk services, we can open up and take EDI for large orders. So rather, these others will take small one or two orders at a time or products at a time. The retail partners, let's say it's Walmart or something, or what's big over here? What would be the equivalent of Walmart? What's that? H&M, there you go. So a big retail partner would be able to send EDI documents to BizTalk services. And again, it would flow through that exact same pipe. And so that's what I'm going to... I'll go back. That's what I'm going to demo. Okay, so this is the website. So Trey Research wants to make their products available directly to the web, so they've built a website. This is running in Windows Azure. It's just a simple website. And so it's going to allow a user to come up and say, so right now, I just talked and got the orders. It's actually talking to on-prem. And I'm going to pull up and order a 16 gigabyte MP3 player. We've already pre-filled, the billing address and shipping address and the shipping methods. And so we're just going to place an order. What's going to happen when I place the order is actually writes a message to the to a service bus queue, and BizTalk's going to pull it off. So let me just push that. Now I'll show a little bit about BizTalk and then switch over and show it. This is the code. We're using the ESB toolkit. I don't know if you guys have used that. In the past, it was called a toolkit. It was an add-on to BizTalk Server. At this point, it's fully incorporated, so you can install it and it runs. And so it's the ability. I think of it sort of like orchestration, but it's more of a linear process. It's more of, it's a common term. So this is what's called an itinerary. So we receive the message. We're going to route it to the approval process. And then once that comes back, it's been approved, then we'll write it to the database in this case. That third step represents what would be typically an LOB system. It could be SAP or SQL. Or in this case, it's SQL, just to keep it simple. It's a SQL adapter, but that would be able to route to anything where we have the adapters. And then ultimately, we're going to send back a notification to the mobile app. We're going to be able to do it through push notification, send that out. So as far as the logic here, what's going to happen is we receive the order into this orchestration is doing that approval process. And it goes and it looks right here and it says, okay, if the order is greater than 1,000, then it needs to have manual approval. Otherwise, it'll go ahead. And you'll notice in there also, we put a special flag. When it comes in from a partner through EDI, then because they're a partner, they're pre-approved and we'll bypass the approval automatically. So here, if it requires approval, we're sending this off to SharePoint, and then we're waiting for SharePoint to send it back. So let me switch over here, and this is, it's probably already in there. So the order's already come through. See, it was $40 for the, it doesn't have the text, but that's the order. The way it came through here was this receive port, BizTalk server, in this receive location. And you can see that's using the new service bus messaging adapter, just reading off of this queue. It's called a new order queue. It got cut off there. And then it throws it to a pipeline that's converting from JSON into XML. So because web and mobile applications a lot of times use JSON, we want to be able to convert that into XML, which is BizTalk's language. Okay, so that's the first step is we have a web app talking through the service bus into BizTalk, and now we've connected to our on-premise systems. So now the second step is the mobile application. So in this case, it's a Windows 8 app that I've put up here, but we're going to use mobile services behind the scenes. It's a Windows Azure set of capabilities for making it easy to write mobile applications. It works just as well. Actually, the first release of it was only for iPhone, so it works for iPhone, Android, and for Windows 8 devices. But our example here will be Windows Phone 8. So I go into the application, and I can go and place a new order. And you see it's already reading the same thing. It's reading the same database. It's brought up the... So I'm going to get a projector on this one. This will be expensive. It's about, I think, about $1,000. Let's get two of them. Okay, and I've already pre-filled all the values for the billing address and all that and the shipping. So it's going to be $105 for shipping. So let's place the order. So the order's already submitted successfully. Again, that just means it wrote to the queue. I want to look real quick over here in mobile services. What this is a script. So mobile service has one of the things it does, besides it has, you can put simple databases, you can do authentication, but you can have these scripts so that your mobile application can call through HTTP and JSON, essentially, post, and then you can have code that you write that then will do whatever. So in this case, this is sort of acting as my web service or my proxy. The mobile app posts to here, and then here I create a message and drop it in the queue. This is essentially what I do. I put together the JSON there, and then I drop it here into the service bus queue. So in this case, what happened, if I go back over here, it's not going to be there. Why not? Well, it's because that order was more than $1,000. So I'm going to go here, and if I refresh on the orders, yeah, I should zoom a little bit there. I don't know if that's readable, but so I've got an order there waiting for confirmation. It's for about $2,000 plus shipping costs, and so it's been put there for approval because it's bigger than we're allowed to just automatically approve. So if I go here, for this demo, the way I do is just click this box. As soon as I click the box in this list, SharePoint tells BizTalk we're done, and BizTalk will do its business. So if I click that... Give it a second here. What's that? There he goes. So again, seamless integration, and that really wasn't that hard to pull off because it's pretty easy. For BizTalk has a SharePoint adapter, it makes it easy to post a SharePoint online to get it back. So as soon as that went through, then BizTalk picked it up, processed it, dropped it here on our backend system. So. Oh, one other point there is again, talking about all these pieces that we have, that was using the workflow foundation. So that's what's built inside of, that's what's running inside of SharePoint. They use the latest version of workflow. They actually use Service Bus as well. And so here it's a really simple workflow, obviously. It's just a single task. As soon as they click that task is finished, then we talk back to BizTalk. But you can make very elaborate workflows there in SharePoint. Okay, so the last step, what I said there, is that they want to take... So now they've got the orders coming off the web, they've got people coming on mobile phones, but they want to open up some big retail channels. So how many EDI developers in here? Not many. These guys are experts. The rest of us look at EDI. I'll bring up one. It's kind of scary. It's like, what the heck's going on there? But BizTalk knows how to talk EDI, luckily, right? And actually, BizTalk Services knows how to talk EDI. And so what we've done here is we've got a sample of an 850. It's a purchase order. And I've put in here, this is the name of the person it's coming from. So it's TechEd Europe 2013. And I've got multiple orders. It's even hard for me to parse. My eyes can't parse that. But there's somebody who knows EDI, I'm sure, can read that. But there's multiple orders for different numbers and amounts of those products. And so What I'll do is real quick, I'll look over here. This, if BizTalk Services, again, this is our new PaaS service. This is the portal for managing it. And so what I have here, if I go to agreements, in the EDI world, you set up these relationships or trading partner agreements. And so what I have is, you know, the hosted partner is us. We're Trey Research. The guest partner is Contoso. They're going to send us orders. And so what we're configuring is when we receive their orders, we'll parse them, we'll map it to an internal PO, that same structure that the other applications were using. We'll drop it in the queue, and BizTalk won't know the difference. It'll just pick it up and process it. In terms of, let's see, receive settings, so it's taking HTTP. Protocol is that 850. The transform, we've got a map between, you know, the two into that. We have an XML PO format. And then the routing, when we're done, we put it here. I can't zoom on that. So that puts it on the service bus queue, again, that listening BizTalk is listening on. So let me run that. What I have here is a utility that comes with BizTalk services. It's just a simple utility that does an HTTP post. So we that file that I just brought up, we're going to do a post of that to that endpoint that we exposed for that agreement. So BizTalk Services is going to map it and forward it to the queue. And because I actually left the BizTalk, the receive port disabled, we should be able to see that message in the queue here. I went to the wrong place. There we go. So this is the queue, and you see right there that the queue length is 1. So that message is in there, and if we go here, we still won't have anything. But if I go here and enable this, again, let's see, I could click on there. It's just using the service bus messaging, and in this case, it's handing it off to the itinerary. So once it gets that BizTalk, gets that XML message from BizTalk Services, it just starts that itinerary and goes through the flow. So if I enable this, give it 1 second. It usually goes pretty quick. Okay, so you see it's already in there. So that came through the $7,000 order. EFT is the payment method used for this EDI business partner. And so, again, that's pretty much it. But just showing the power that if you're using integration, if you're using BizTalk server and you've got your on-prem, it's very easy for BizTalk to connect to the cloud. And it's very easy using Windows Azure to extend the reach to all these different kinds of applications to build. Again, I know we're inventing terms in a way, but we call a modern business application is one that leverages those on-prem assets and allows you to extend and reach these modern form factors. So with that, I'm going to let Guru come on up. Unless there are there any questions on the demo?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me now? Okay. Thanks, Kent. So that was a very interesting demo because there are lots of moving parts in that, and that showed the power of most of our components. And this is the first time I'm seeing this demo, so I'm quite impressed. So the scenarios that we have here, it covered most of the things that our team covers, which is Microsoft BizTalk Server, Service Bus, and Workflow. So all of these things are coming from one team, and the goal was to see how we can bring all these things to our developers, or to our enterprise developers, to our modern app developers, and pick and choose whatever that you want in various different combinations. So it's not, the intent is not to replace one over the other. The intent is not to say that use this over that or something like that. There are different parts that you can pick and choose. And integration is a scenario where one size does not fit all. And we also understand that these things should be made available in multiple form factors. for various enterprise requirements. We cannot expect people to move on to the cloud on day one or day 10. There are scenarios where people can never move to the cloud for various reasons that Kent was outlining earlier. So now let us look at what we have released this year and what are the things that are coming in the pipeline and where do we want to go with integration in the coming years. We have shipped a lot for this year. As an integration team, if you look at it, there are quite a lot of things. Big releases as server releases and incremental releases for the various workflow components and service bus components. Service bus, we have a new release of that on-prem version of the product and also an update on Windows Azure. So the AMQP is a very important update to that. AMQP, support for AMQP as a queue protocol. And the scenarios that it enlightens or lightens up is more around support for JMS system, like Java Messaging System, which is predominantly used in non-Microsoft environments, IBM environments, Oracle environments. All of those systems use the Java Messaging System. And AMQP is a neutral protocol that allows you to connect with JMS and .NET. So Service Bus now natively supports AMQP. So you can use Service Bus as an endpoint and use AMQP as a protocol to connect to JMS systems. So now with this, you can extend the capability of BizTalk messaging to connect to your JMS systems using Service Bus as an intermediary in between. So that's one of those functionalities that can show up. And we are also releasing the Service Bus on-prem update coming up sometime in October. So this functionality of AMQP is now available on the Azure version of it. You will also see it soon on the client version, Windows Server version of it. And then server for hosting and managing workflow. Workflow Foundation has been around for a while, like it's been since .NET 3.0. In .NET 4.5, we released a workflow manager, which is a manager for hosting your workflow instances. Earlier, you could host it as part of your ASP.NET application or Windows console applications. Now you could host it as a standalone application in the workflow manager. The most obvious implementation of that was, as Kent was pointing out, is SharePoint. So SharePoint 2013 uses workflow behind the scene for all of its internal workflow capabilities. And next big release was BizTalk Server 2013. I call it that as a big release over the other two because the other two are foundational technologies that can be used as developer tools. But whereas BizTalk Server is a major server product with 10 years of life cycle following it. And with this version of BizTalk Server, we will go a little bit deeper into what are the things that are new in BizTalk Server. But with this release of BizTalk Server, we have 3 form factors of BizTalk made available for the first time. Server on-prem and server on IIS and BizTalk Service. BizTalk Service will, it's not expected to be a replacement for the server in any form. Server is an enterprise integration product, so it is supposed to be in the enterprise. Whereas the service is supposed to light up some of the functionalities that are there on the server, where the server can leverage those things. So it is server plus service. So it is not you don't have to think about, hey, should I use the server or the service? It is server plus service. You can use the combination of them, or you can use in any one of them. So now let us look at what's specific about this particular release of Service Bus. So as we said, there was about this AMQP support was a big one, and this Notification Hub. So Notification Hub is a new one for Service Bus, as earlier we had notification services. So now we have a Notification Hub, which will be all used by the rest of the Windows ecosystem also, like Windows Phone, Windows 8 computers, and those kind of stuff. And there is a new update to Service Bus SDK, which uses a new authentication protocol apart from ACS, is shared access secret authentication. So that's a new improvement that is being implemented with Service Bus SDK. And with Workflow, it is released, as we said, it was released in an earlier last year with .NET 4.5. It was the Workflow Manager. And there is workflow services for SharePoint, which is currently almost in the final stages of release with SharePoint 2013. Fine. So this is BizTalk Server 2013. So, okay. Yes. So these are the things that are a whole lot of stuff on the screen full of them for, that were done for BizTalk Server 2013. So some of the pillars that you see here is support for the latest platform, BizTalk Server being application broker, sits at the very top of the application stack, relies very heavily on every capability that is provided by the underlying platform, which starts off with Windows Server, SQL Server, Visual Studio, and .NET Framework. So in the year 2012, Microsoft has updated almost every one of these underlying platforms. So with the new version of Windows Server, new version of SQL and Visual Studio. So the current version of BizTalk Server, BizTalk 2013, is meant to be compatible with every one of them. So it is built with .NET 4.5, and it is built on top of SQL 2012 and Windows 2012. This is an important one, especially this year, given the fact that Windows and SQL are at the end of their life for the current versions. Windows 2003 is hitting a 10-year life cycle, and Windows 2008 is hitting a 5-year life cycle, so which is usually a time when enterprises think about updating their Windows Server or SQL Server. And it's also a good opportunity for you to think through as to how do you update your application framework, starting from Visual Studio, .NET Framework, and BizTalk Server. And apart from supporting the latest infrastructure platforms, we have also updated the various industry schemas and partner drivers, such as support for the latest Oracle drivers and IBM systems and Siebel systems. And we have also updated the industry schemas for HL7, HIPAA, and Swift and RosettaNet. On the simplified experience aspect of it, so BizTalk Server has been a product that's been in use by a variety of users, developers, IT pros, and IT managers, and business users. So the simplified experience is an ongoing exercise, I would say. So with each version, we try to improvise that. So in this particular case, the focus was more around managing the artifacts. It's as an enterprise integration product, the number of artifacts that users, such as schemas, your maps, your pipelines, your orchestrations, those can get pretty large, pretty fast. Like the number of schemas that are being used across your maps and across your pipelines can get pretty large. So for somebody who is managing such an environment at a later time, it's kind of hard for them to figure out, like, who is using this map, who is using this schema, who are all using these pipelines and those kind of stuff. So we have an API of sorts wherein you can just go through those pipelines and click on the pipeline and show me who are all using this, what are the other artifacts that are using this pipeline, and tell me which are all the artifacts that are using the schemas and those kind of stuff. So it is housed within the admin console, so it's easier for a BizTalk administrator to go through them. So it helps you in your deployment scheduling and those kind of things. And as Kent was showing up the ESB aspect of it, so ESB has been part of BizTalk since 2009, but it was an external entity in terms of setup and management. So with 2013, we have included the ESB as a standard part of BizTalk setup. So it's a one-click setup. So you go through BizTalk installation, and you just click on setup, and you will see ESB there. And the configuration is exactly the same way as you would do BizTalk basic configuration. And the next aspect is about installation of SharePoint adapter. I think that was also one other thing that Kent used in his demo. SharePoint used to have a different object model, which kind of forced people to have, if you're connecting to different types of server farms in SharePoint, you had to have a library that had to install on every one of those servers to connect to that. So in 2012 version of SharePoint, which was their most recent one at the time of this release, was they provided a client OM, client object model, which we could ship along with BizTalk Server, and we say, hey, I can connect to any version of SharePoint running anywhere, be it on-prem, be it hosted, or be it online. So with this, we are now able to connect to any version of SharePoint and not have to worry about installing any specific web service or any specific library on those server farms. So we have revised the SharePoint adapter in BizTalk to use the client object model, so we can connect to SharePoint online or Office 365 based one. And we have also released connectors, because BizTalk Server also includes license for host integration server, so you don't have to buy a separate license. HIS is part of BizTalk license. So as part of the HIS updates, we have included connectors for Informix and web-based admin and deployment tools for TI. So on the improved performance space of it, so let me know if I'm going pretty fast, because there's a lot of content to cover. That's why I'm going pretty fast. And most of this content I have covered in the earlier sessions. So if you have any questions, please feel free to interrupt me or stop me. On the improved performance aspect of it, this particular version of BizTalk, we had an opportunity to talk to many of our healthcare customers. And there was a lot of feedback from healthcare customers for specific use cases. And most of the improvements that you see came from that feedback. So you would see an improvement around MLLP adapter, which is an adapter that is used exclusively in the healthcare industry for a protocol called HL7, which is the most widely used protocol in the healthcare industry. So there, as per that protocol, every message that needs that comes in and goes out needs to be in a sequential order. So like, let's say when a patient is admitted into the hospital, that record needs to go first before he's sent to diagnostics or sent for further treatment. So every message that needs to come has to be maintained in an order, and there could be multiple subscribers subscribing to that order. So performance of that message delivery is a key aspect for a high-throughput environment like a busy hospital. So the order delivery improvement resulted in over 7x performance in terms of compared to an identical solution on BizTalk 2010 on an identical hardware. So without any changes to your solution or without any changes to your infrastructure, you would get a 7x performance for order delivery improvement. And then the last but not least is about the XSLT compile transform, which is about when you are using a map in a BizTalk environment, you would use XSLT mapping. So you take a schema of type A and convert it to schema of type B. You go through an XSL transformation. So here it was a huge improvement, and this improvement actually came from .NET Framework 4.5, where they had introduced XSLT compile transform. So BizTalk leverages that as part of a platform update. So the improvement is in terms of over 20x magnitude, so which is applicable to over 90% of BizTalk solutions, because almost every BizTalk solution includes some form of transformation. And this we see something is applicable across the board for almost all of our customers. And once again, this is not something that you would need to update your hardware or change anything in your application. You just upgrade to the later version, latest version, and you will get all of this improvements for free. And connecting to the cloud and running in the cloud are one of the two themes of this release. So connecting to the cloud, meaning ability to connect to various services that are hosted on the cloud, through multiple protocols. It need not be only REST being one of them. So earlier also, BizTalk could connect using HTTP. So you could post to HTTP or I could receive over HTTP. But now with the ability of connecting through service bus, you are able to expose and consume external services. So let me explain what that means. So service bus, as Kent was pointing out earlier, provides a functionality called service bus relay, which allows you to cut across your firewall and not have to poke holes there, and you don't have to make any additional hardware investments to go across the firewall. So you can take an existing business process running on your server and expose it as a web service and consume it from any external application. The external application could be your mobile application or a website application or anything else, and they can see it as if it's just yet another web service. But that yet another web service is actually running on-prem, so on your service, on your server. So service bus makes this connection seamless. So the endpoint, the end user doesn't even have to worry about how am I accessing this. So with this capability, you are now able to expose your existing business processes to external entities. At the same time, you can now access external entities as a native part of your application. So you can build a business process, and within your orchestration, you can be consuming, like, let's say, a Salesforce functionality or a credit card validation functionality, and just call it as a native web service. So connecting to the cloud was one of those driving factors for this particular release. And for that, we introduced two new adapters, which is a web HTTP adapter, which allows for REST connectivity, and then service bus messaging adapter. And running in the cloud. So this is about provisioning Windows Server, Microsoft BizTalk Server 2013 on Windows Azure Services as IaaS entities. So if you go to, I'll show you that portal. You go to Azure portal, you'll be able to see under virtual machines, virtual images, under the gallery, you'll see Microsoft BizTalk Server. So in less than 3 minutes, you can just click on a new image, and it'll have a Windows Server, Microsoft BizTalk Server provisioned for you with all of the prerequisites pre-installed on it, like Visual Studio is there, SQL Server is there. So for your development or testing purposes, you have a machine up and running in less than 3 minutes. So I talk about development and testing, and it doesn't mean that you cannot do production machines on that. You can do production. But when you're planning for production run on BizTalk configuration on IaaS, so you need to be aware of certain scenarios as to, okay, can I put my data there, or those kind of legal scenarios. You need to be aware of it. So because the machine could be running somewhere on the cloud, and you need to be careful or cognizant of the fact that the data could be moving out of your enterprise. So that's the reason why we don't commit publicly saying, hey, you can put BizTalk Server on production. So we say dev and test, but there is nothing technically preventing you from not doing production on it. So that's about the aspect of running in the cloud. So there we have, we are also planning for multiple types of those images, like one for standard for developer and one template designed for staging and testing. So you can define your template of, well, like, let's say I want 4 BizTalk servers with two designed for receive and two designed for orchestration and send and those kind of stuff. You can define a deployment template and have that thing already pre-provisioned on IaaS for that. So those are some of the key driving factors for 2013 release. And all of these things is available today. So and what we have on Azure VM and why do we need to think through that is when you are planning for a BizTalk project, it usually involves quite a lot of extensive set of hardware. You would need to have a dedicated SQL Server, if not dedicated, at least a powerful enough shared SQL Server. And you also need to worry about how do I procure these kind of systems, like if it is only for a small period of time, like let's say for staging or testing scenarios, how do I go about doing that? So with IaaS, it kind of pretty much eliminates that need. So you don't have to worry about it. So it's always available, and you can just click on it, and you just pay for it only when you use, right? So that's the biggest selling point of that. And if you want to validate, like let's say if you have a 2009 or a 2010 application, and you are just validating 2013, and you want to see whether it's, what does it take for me to migrate, or what does it take for me to upgrade, you can export those applications onto this IaaS environment and validate and make sure that your application works seamlessly before you actually do that upgrade. So that proof of concept scenarios is one area where I have seen most people try out IaaS. And the next part is about BizTalk services. So BizTalk services, yesterday Karthik had an extensive in-depth presentation on it. And if anybody has missed out on it, I would urge you to go take a look at it on the video, because it was an excellent presentation where he went very deep into what is BizTalk services and how to use it, when to use it, and those kind of scenarios. So what it is at a high level, it is a fully managed, dedicated service. And actually, it's one of the very first of its kind on Windows Azure, where you have a dedicated deployment on a shared environment. What does it mean? So for if you're doing any type of integration, let alone BizTalk, any type of integration, there is always a need for some kind of a custom code. So custom code could be as simple as your own encryption algorithm, or you're doing something in your transformation, or you're doing some lookup into your database, or something like that. So any one of those integration scenarios requires some kind of a custom code. So this custom code could be taken, like let's say you have written some kind of an encryption algorithm that takes a high CPU. That's by design. You have written something that you expect it to take high CPU. If it was on a shared environment, because you are taking a high CPU, I cannot go and shut down somebody else, right? I need to make sure that the environment is equally available for everybody based on some kind of an SLA. So that means I need to provision certain systems for you and you test your applications and you come up with an SLA saying that, okay, if I'm doing these things, this is the kind of SLA that I can expect in terms of message throughput or in terms of availability, all of those kind of things. And you want to be guaranteed that these machines will not be shared by anybody else and your data will be confined only within that deployment. So even though you are on a shared environment like Azure. So the way that we are doing behind the scene is we are actually provisioning n number of machines based on your subscription. Within your subscription, you can say that I need X number of units. Like, let's say we are ranging anywhere between 1 to 8. For the basic and developer edition, we have 1 unit available. And for standard, I think we have 4 units available. And for premium, you can go up to 8 units. So you can slide there and say, hey, I want this many number of machines available. And you can validate your environment within that deployment and say, okay, does it meet my requirement? Does it meet my throughput requirements and those kind of things? So that's a unique model that we are trying it out for the first time across all of our services. And it's also a managed service in it that you don't have to worry about any updates that is happening in the platform. So we take care of it every time that we update the platform behind the scene. We ensure that your application is not affected. So that's the guarantee that a managed service provides. And it's a config-driven and an extensible platform. So the way that Kent was showing in his example of defining an EDI agreement. In EDI agreement, it's pretty complex behind the scene to see how do I define these trading partner agreements, how do I go and define all these endpoints, how do I go and define all these transformations. So there was no code written anywhere there. It was just a wizard where he was able to walk through that, and behind the scene, there was a bunch of deployments happening. So as he created those agreements, as he created those transformations, there were those artifacts that were being created dynamically on the fly and being deployed on the service. So it's a config-driven experience, and at the same time, as an ISV or as a solution integrator, if you want to extend that platform, it also provides enough hooks where you can write custom code, as we were talking about earlier, at every stage within the bridge, saying that after I receive the message, what should I be doing? After I do this transform, do I need to run a custom code? Do I need to save it somewhere? Do I need to do a lookup somewhere? You can be writing custom code at every level. And it is extensible to that level. And if you choose not to extend it, you can just go through a config wizard and config-driven experience and still have a very rich user experience. So that's a quick overview of what we have with Azure Services. And let's look at the scenario guidance on when to use what now that we have such a large landscape of artifacts available. So the first question is, like, when should I use ServiceBus? And why should I use ServiceBus over BizTalk? Or why should I use BizTalk over ServiceBus? And those kind of scenarios. So if you have a pure point-to-point messaging scenario, like, let's say I'm going to receive from application A, and all I need to do is just route it to somewhere else. I'm not going to do any transformation. I'm not doing any enrichment of that message. I know what that message is. I know where it is supposed to go. So if my requirement is to receive from this end and deliver it to that end, and deliver it at scale, and deliver it either in a synchronous or an asynchronous manner, I would suggest ServiceBus. ServiceBus provides you an ability to store messages and forward it at a later time, or relay it in real time. It allows both. So if based on my requirement, I can choose to use either queues or topics within ServiceBus, or I can choose to use relay, whether I want synchronous or asynchronous messaging. But I cannot do any enrichment of the message. I cannot do any repair or resubmit of that message. So I cannot touch the message. I can only route it. If that is the scenario, you can go with ServiceBus. And if I have an application that needs to do some kind of a sequential set of activities, and it's an application that can host that workflow. So it's my application that I'm hosting it as a website or as a Windows console application or as a Forms application. That means my application becomes a host. I'm going to manage the set of sequential set of activities that need to be executed, like approval process, those kind of scenarios. I would go with the standard workflow. And then if I need to do an integration within the enterprise, or with my partners, or with my known set of entities, like LOB systems and those kind of stuff, it would suggest going with BizTalk server. The moment you say that, hey, I need to do message repair, or I want to do message transformation, or I want to do some custom code enrichment, instead of pure routing, you get into Bistock Service territory. So what is, where do we differentiate between service bus routing and Bistock Server routing? When I do a service bus routing, service bus just says, hey, I'm going to deliver it to you. I cannot guarantee that delivery. Let's take a scenario wherein an order comes in and somebody's downstream system is going to receive that. So the downstream system is supposed to consume it. I'm going to notify you that something is there. I'm not going to deliver it to you. So you are going to come and read it. So whoever who comes and first reads it, it's a queue. So it's going to deliver it to that person. It cannot guarantee that, okay, I delivered it to only this person. Right? But whereas Bistock Server has that inbuilt functionality wherein it says, okay, I delivered it to you. I'm using so-and-so transport and I have that audit and log tracing of how I delivered it to you, when I delivered it, in what format I delivered. Right? So if you have any of those such requirements, you would start using a server product. But as a developer, you can choose to say, hey, all of my requirement is just to go from application A to application B, and if it fails, I can retry. So though if you have such logic, you can use service bus. So what we have here is a guidance saying that, okay, these are the various scenarios in which you can use product A over product B or feature A over feature B. This is not conclusive in any way. We are just having a guidance here saying that, okay, these are the scenarios in which you could use service bus versus Bistock, or these are the scenarios in which you would mandatorily have to use Bistock and those kind of things. And when would I use Bistock on IaaS versus Bistock on-prem? Bistock on IaaS gives you agility in terms of availability, like you just click on it and it's immediately available. And you would use it for dev and test purposes primarily because you don't have to go through this round trip of hitting LOB systems on-prem in a production scenario. So you don't have to worry about setting up your VPN connectivity and those kind of stuff in case you need to, if you're going through a production scenario. So the most typical use case is if you want to come up with a proof of concept or you want to set up a quick dev environment, you want to validate something in a test and staging environment, IaaS would be the most ideal option. And finally, when would I use cloud-based integration with versus server-based integration? Cloud-based integration gives you the ability to scale on demand. That means I can choose to have one unit or eight units as and when I need. And it also gives me an ability to have my integration completely on cloud. Like, let's say if my requirement is to read from Salesforce and send it out to some other SaaS application, like, let's say, SharePoint, I don't have to come to on-prem for anything. Right? So I already have a Salesforce account, I already have my Box.net account, or I already have my SharePoint online account, something like that. So I just need to integrate between these three things. Then there is no need for me to come to server at all. So I can still do my message transformation, I can still do my EAI integration, all those kind of stuff, completely running on the cloud. But if there is a need for me to do some extensive workflows, if there is a need for me to run some on-prem business rules, if there is a need for me to do some data insight and those kind of scenarios like BAM and analytics, I would rather use my Bistock server. So you can use the combination of server plus service, or you could just use the service completely or server completely. So once again, this is a guidance telling that these are the various possibilities. Any questions on this so far? Yes, please.
Could you clarify the licensing?
Yes. That's next slide. Next slide. So these are some examples of how customers are utilizing the combination of these products in a better together story, and how we ourselves are using these products while building these things together. These are all integration products, so we cannot say, hey, I'm going to build something that's going to be used in isolation. No, these are all meant to be used together. So having said that, these are just some of the scenarios in which customers are using this. So the most obvious situation where Bistock customers would benefit from using Service Bus is store and forward. Bistock server is a shared storage platform. That means if I have 10 applications on that, all 10 of them uses the same storage, which is the centralized database that Bistock uses for all of its applications. So there could be one application which is pushing in, like, let's say, some 100,000 messages as a large FTP-based EDA order. But there could be other application which is all it is doing is just receiving some events from source A and sending it to source B. But the second application could now be affected if my first application is pushing some 100,000 records because it is using a shared storage. So actually, I have a scenario of that being explained in a hybrid application building development session tomorrow. I think it's the same time tomorrow. So this scenario, that store and forward scenario, allows service bus to be used as storage, wherein your application here, which is receiving from FTP, can actually store those messages in service bus and push it down to the downstream system as and when the downstream system is available. So that's one most common use case. And as we spoke about earlier, Bistock server's connectivity capabilities are enhanced using the AMQP functionality of service bus. And it also allows Bistock server to communicate with external services across the firewall using service bus relay. And the adapters and transforms that are available within Bistock server are also available as activities that you can host within your custom workflow. So if you are building a workflow solution and you have access to Bistock server license, you can use the Bistock server's adapter framework and the transform activities within your workflow. So this is how all three services use each other. And so how we are building these as we build the product is, yes, we have a service bus messaging adapter that is built baked into Bistock server. And the Bistock service is on the cloud. Behind the scene uses Workflow Foundation to execute that bridge. And the Workflow Foundation also uses service bus as its messaging broker. So each of these services behind the scene use each other. So these are not competing technologies, but they are complementary technologies, and they are all built by the same team. So where do we go with the integration futures on this? Is historically, Bistock Server has had a release cycle of between 18 and 24 months. And this is a product that has had 8 releases in less than 12 years, and probably that's the only product that has had that many releases. And our plan is to continue to have that kind of a cadence. We don't have any plans of changing that for any other business reason at this time. So we'll continue to have that cadence because that is pretty much what the market requirement is. And this product has had continuous cumulative updates, historically between 3 to 6 months, between 2 cumulative updates. We will continue to maintain that rhythm. So these cumulative updates are, as its name suggests, it's cumulative in nature. That means it includes all of the earlier fixes as applicable. And we will continue to have these cumulative updates. And in terms of the cloud services, it is a quarterly update. So we will be updating that almost on every quarter. And for the going forward, what is it that we want to do with that is a templatized LOB integration. Like, let's say if I want to build scenario wherein I'm using an SAP server for order processing. So there are some maps that are applicable, like transforms that are applicable wherein, because the schemas that are in EDI are pretty standardized, and schemas that are used in your SAP system are also quite standardized. Can I build certain standard transforms and just provide a standard template that you could just use it and say, hey, this is the scenario that I want to integrate with my SAP system. This is the scenario that I want to integrate with my SQL system. So how do we provide those out-of-the-box templates? So that is one thing that we are working on. And ESB, the enterprise service bus, the scenario in which Kent was demonstrating using the itinerary, is something that we are thinking of as a common canvas wherein you can define your application flow and say, hey, these things go into the cloud, these things go into the on-prem, but ESB is the one that defines that workflow, right? So we want to think of that as a common canvas for designing your applications, designing or defining your applications. And currently, there is a lack of support for long-running processes on the cloud. So if I post a message, the bridge has to execute it and deliver it somewhere. So whereas on the server, the orchestration is capable of dehydrating itself and waking up after 6 months. So that scenario where Kent was showing about where it goes through an approval process, the Bistock orchestration actually dehydrates after it sent the message for approval. You cannot do such a thing today on the cloud because there is no support for long-running processes. So that's one area that you'll be seeing some improvement coming onto the Bistock services implementation. And the business analysis and insights is something that we can leverage significantly on Azure because there is so much of other assets that already empower that. So that could be one other improvement that could be coming soon. Any questions on this? Either on server or service or how we want to go further? If you want to suggest something as, hey, we want to see this new functionality, feel free to suggest that as well. So this is just based on what we heard from our existing customers in terms of what they would want to see. And I encourage you to please try it out. And if you have any suggestions, feel free to provide that feedback as well. Now, so I just put together this slide like 20 minutes ago before the start of this presentation because this was one question that has come up at least 16 times in 3 days. So historically, for BizTalk server, we used to have a SKU exclusively for developers, which was called the developer edition of BizTalk server. And with 2013, there was an opportunity to make things slightly different, and we wanted to experiment with that. So the different reason for that was like if I was releasing a developer SKU, we had to manage the developer SKU in terms of distribution and those kind of stuff. MSDN is an app channel which does that exclusively for developers today for all of the other Microsoft products. So take all the way from Windows Server, Visual Studio, SQL Server, everything else is available as part of MSDN. So we contacted the MSDN team and they said, like, yes, we can take BizTalk Server also. So we released BizTalk Server as part of MSDN. So if you are an MSDN subscriber, you can access the full-blown BizTalk license for developer use. But the downside of that was that functionality, that capability is available only for MSDN premium and ultimate customers, which is not all the developers in the world. So most of the enterprises can afford that, but the enterprises can also afford the full-blown BizTalk server. So there are many of these individual developers who wanted access to BizTalk 2013, and they said, like, we lost that functionality that we had in 2010. How do we make it possible? So we went through some of the models, and SQL Server has gone into a similar cycle, and SQL Server has now a SQL Developer Edition, which is available as standalone. So BizTalk will also be releasing the Developer Edition. So just that it is not $0, it is something close to $50, I think, probably for shipping and handling kind of scenarios. So that will be coming out sometime soon around November timeframe, in about a couple of months. So you will have a Developer Edition of BizTalk Server also available. But talking about MSDN, MSDN also supports some of the functionalities and capabilities that MSDN provides are significantly attractive. At least I find it very attractive. So it provides access to all of these Microsoft artifacts, not just one product or not just one service. It provides access to all of the on-prem products, support, and access to resources in terms of learning resources. And most importantly, as of 2 weeks ago, it was announced that you get a $200 voucher every month for use on Azure services. So if you just want to try out some premium product like BizTalk services on Azure, you still don't have to pay anything out of the pocket. So you get a $200 voucher which you can use for against Azure services. So you can try Active Directory, you can try BizTalk services, you can try SQL Azure, you can try Service Bus. You can try all of those functionalities, and MSDN subscription covers for it. So even though on the face of it, it might look, hey, I'm paying for all of these things at a different level, it provides, I think it just pays off for itself. So the easiest way to get developer edition of BizTalk, the recommended way to get that is through MSDN. But for those of you who cannot go through MSDN, just wait until November, and there will be a developer edition made available. Any questions on this? Good. I think I answered 16 people. So. Yes, and there is also an eval edition, 180-day, right? There is a 180-day eval edition of BizTalk Server available. And most importantly, you can use it on IIS for free today. Like if you are just using it for developer edition, you can just sign up into IIS, and you have a fully pre-installed version of BizTalk Server that is ready to use for all of your development activities. And the next one is the key takeaways. We are almost at the end of it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a very powerful integration stack. As we, if you look at all of the integration capabilities that are out there, it's a very powerful stack. So there is a server stack sitting at the very top of it that can connect to your cloud services. It is also available as IaaS. It is also available as a service. And most importantly, all of the building blocks of the integration service for messaging, for workflow, for authoring, for monitoring, every one of them can be accessed as individual capabilities. So it's quite a powerful stack that is out there. And we very strongly believe that you cannot have one product that says that I can fit all of everybody's requirements. So we strongly believe in that principle, and we say that we have to make different form factors and different capabilities and different features available in different sizes, because integration requirements of our customers are varied. We cannot say that every one of them are Fortune 500 companies. We cannot say every one of them are small and medium business companies or individual customers. So we need to have a very wide variety of options available. And we have lots of scenarios that light up with the combined capabilities of server plus service. There are lots of things that the server could do standalone, and there are lots of things that light up new with the addition of the cloud to that. So it is you should look at it as server plus service and not in isolation. So please do not try to compare saying that, hey, I could do this with the server, I cannot do with that service. There is an obvious reason for it. If you could do it with the server, we don't have to reduplicate that with the service. At the same time, there are scenarios like B2B for that. You can do it completely on the server today, but EDA is a functionality that is meant to be used on the cloud. Like, let's say, when your trading partner is sending you an agreement or sending you a message over FTP or AS2 or TCP, they're already using the public internet. So it is coming over the internet. That message is coming to you over the internet. So you don't have to go on-prem just to process that message and send it back on that same network. So you could actually just process the whole thing on the cloud. So that is a scenario which is very amenable to the cloud. So that's the reason why that particular scenario is kind of looks like a duplicate between server and service. And last but not the least, this is one area that Microsoft is significantly investing, and it's a key pillar for both our continued enterprise business as well as the Azure business. So it's one of the key pillars. So we will continue to invest in this area, and we will continue to innovate in this area. And so you will see more and more of changes coming in this one pretty rapidly, almost on a quarterly and yearly basis, both on service and server. And BizTalk Server has always had a very vibrant partner ecosystem because it's being an integration product. It has had a need for active partner and ISVs to play. And with the addition of cloud, that has just significantly enhanced, because now we can create templatized integration scenarios where you can just provision it for your customers. And yesterday we had a demo of one of such partners showcasing the integration of BizTalk services as part of their offering. So with that, I think we have come to the end of it. So if there are any questions, please feel free to ask any one of us, either myself, Karthik, or Kent. So we also have a session coming up tomorrow on building hybrid applications with using Microsoft integration capabilities, like both server, service, and service bus. So we'll discuss that. And I urge you all to please go and fill up the eval. And if there's any feedback, we're open for that. Thank you all.